Welcome back to Matt Flynn-Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage everyone to go to the Devil Radio app and download the Devil Radio website, download our app. Go to the Apple and Google store, download our app. You'll get great reception, 24-7, your favorite shows. And it's especially important, as you know, because during the dark winter months, the FCC requires AM stations to power down a little bit. And even with FM stations, you get great reception all the time on the app. While you're at it, click on the link that says Support Devil Radio. You asked for that link to be put on there. A lot of you support this station. You know that there are more than 80 right-wing broadcasts that go out every day attacking our democracy, attacking the United States, really attacking our elections, pushing Donald Trump. Devil Radio is the strongest, clearest voice against that. If you're not woke, if you don't know history, and you're going to get it on this show. So click on Support Devil Radio, and thank you very much. Go to the Rittenhouse trial. It seems like we talk about the Rittenhouse trial every day, and rightfully so. Here's a situation. They had the second full day of deliberations, couldn't come to a verdict on everything. There's no way of knowing if they've decided on a number of the counts and are still talking about others. There's no way of knowing whether it's a general jury pool just talking or whether they've had a couple of straw votes and they're locked, you know, 10-2 or 9-3 or 7-6 or 7-5, I should say. You don't know that. The Rittenhouse lawyers moved for a mistrial yesterday, claiming, in my view, incorrectly, that the prosecutors withheld evidence. Now, let me get into that, bake that a little bit. Let's talk about that a little more. There was a video showing Rittenhouse shooting somebody. And under the law, constitutionally, a Supreme Court, the Brady case, under the Supreme Court authority, prosecutors are required to share exculpatory evidence with the defense. What does exculpatory evidence mean? Let me give you an example. Let's say somebody comes forward and said, well, the defendant has an alibi. He was with me that night. He didn't do it. You have an obligation to disclose that to the defense. If you don't, if there's a conviction, that conviction is no good. It gets thrown out. That's gotten expanded to mean that virtually all evidence that the prosecutor has should be shown to the defense. In federal prosecution offices, the U.S. attorneys, what they do is they just turn over their file, basically, to the defense. And if they have a confidential informant or something, they redact the name, and then they put us up front. Then they argue in front of the judge, should we show that to the defense? Shouldn't we show it? An example of where they didn't have to show it was the El Chapo trial in New York, where a lot of El Chapo's lawyers from Mexico were there and said, we want to see who the witnesses are. The judge correctly thought that what happened is the cartels would then kill the witnesses, so they did not show them the names. And that was a correct result. Well, anyway, in Kenosha, the prosecution emailed this video to the defense. And the defense is claiming that when an email is videoed, when a video is emailed, it compresses it. And depending on how you open it up and how you look at it, it is not as clear as the original that was being emailed. Now, I have no idea in this particular case if they are correct, but I will tell you this. The email that was sent with the video shows Rittenhouse shooting. It shows it. And they're saying it's poor quality. And because of that, there should be a mistrial. And unlike their other motion for a mistrial, which was with prejudice, which was to bar any re-prosecution of Rittenhouse, this one would be without prejudice, which means the prosecutors can go after him again, but they'd have to start this whole business all over. Well, this judge, in a lot of his rulings, I think he's basically woofing and he pretends to look stern and all that, but he actually does the right thing. In one case, he did not do the right thing, and I'll get to that in a second. In this particular case, the jury came back and said, we want to see that video. So the judge said, all right, I'll let you see the video. The defense said, no, it's poor quality. The one we got was poor quality. If we had seen this one, If wishes were fishes, we'd have some to fry. If wishes were horses, when beggars would ride, we would have argued something different. They don't have to say what different they would argue. What, that he didn't show it? It's in there. Okay. In any event, the judge said, well, I'm going to let him look at it and I'm going to think about it. And I think that the judges really will have two decisions. One, was it deliberate that the prosecutors sent them the video that compressed electronically when it was sent? I mean, you know, the defense can very easily say, all right, we want a private showing of the original right now. That's what they should have said if they were concerned about it. It was not deliberate. And the second thing here is that this apparently came to light last Friday. And, you know, today is Thursday, and they raised this Wednesday. Well, you have an obligation, if you think that something wrong happened, to raise it immediately. And you don't wait and see how the closing arguments go and how you feel about the case, which is what they did. The other thing is, how relevant is this? How relevant is it? They got the video. All right. They say that this is a poor quality, whatever that means. But they are grasping at straws here. This should not be granted. You must understand that when the defense lawyers will always bring motions for mistrial, they think things aren't going well. And I don't think they are going well for this Rittenhouse. Now, the other thing that the prosecutor did was he's claimed to have basically alluded to the fact that Rittenhouse took the Fifth when the cops investigated. Now, why are they saying that? He didn't say Rittenhouse took the Fifth. Rittenhouse has a right to take the Fifth Amendment and not say anything. And the prosecution is not supposed to say that he did. Prosecutors all the time use sneaky ways to allude to that. I had a case once. And I did not put my client on the stand. It was a minor criminal matter. And I put somebody on the stand. I said, we rest, Your Honor. And the prosecutor, the judge looked down so he couldn't see what was going on. The prosecutor looked at me sort of agape, like, what? You know, this is your only witness. You know, what about your defendant? He didn't say that, but he communicated that to the jury. And, you know, they do that kind of stuff. It doesn't make any difference. In this particular case, he didn't allude to the Fifth Amendment. He just said that, no, this is the first time you're telling us this story. Inferentially, that means he didn't say it before. But the fact of the matter is that the jury wasn't told that, therefore, he was silent before. It's just that he came up with this thing now. I don't think that is a problem. The judge took the motion under advisement. He'll have to decide if there's a conviction, whether it stands. It's a very heavy burden to say, okay, we are going to grant a mistrial and then not even let the prosecution retry him. That would be appealed. And I think any court looking at that would say, no, you've gone too far. Where I think the judge made a mistake, and this is very important, so perk up. There is a prior video that he wouldn't let into evidence a couple of weeks beforehand, before the shooting, where Rittenhouse said he wanted to take violent retribution against store looters at Black Lives Matter protests. This is several weeks before he killed two people and almost killed the third guy. You kidding me? He didn't let that into evidence? That was an admission of the defendant that is the kind of conduct he wanted, and it was a few weeks beforehand. The truth is, here is how judges look at it. It can't be remote in time. Let's say you have a 50-year-old guy who'd done this, and when he was in high school, he'd said something like that. The judge would say, no, that was 30 years ago. It's too remote in time. Okay, and that's exactly the right ruling there. But here, this guy was 17 when he killed two people, and a couple of weeks before that, he said he wanted to take violent retribution against store looters at Black Lives Matter protests. Hey, Jack. Hey, Judge. Hey, dude. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? That is an admission against interest by the defendant. It's not controverted that he said it. And he did take violent retribution a couple of weeks later. That's not remote in time. That should have been communicated to the jury that this little wannabe was up there with a semi-automatic. And he was looking for trouble. He was looking to take violent retribution against store looters at Black Lives Matter protests. He wasn't up there to guard a dealership. He didn't have to go up there with a gun to do that. There were cops all over the place. He took a gun to kill somebody. And the other thing that this character said, this judge goes, you can't refer to them as victims. Oh, really? The only guy in the country that would say that, the only judge, really? Victims. What are you supposed to say? Aristotle, great philosopher, defined man as a featherless biped. How about there are a whole aggregation of featherless bipeds, and some sort of metal projectile happened to go through the air at very high speed and went into two of the featherless bipeds, and they expired, but we don't know what happened to them after that, because I believe in an afterlife, and some people don't, and perhaps the featherless biped is smiling at us and happy. Is that what the judge wants? I mean, really? This doofus, put him out to pasture, bucket of oats, bucket of water, some sugar cubes and an apple, and put him back in the back 40. He's been there too long, been there over 40 years. What the heck? They were victims. They were victims. And what the heck? I mean, come on. And 2 weeks before he shoots these people and kills them, he says, I want to take violent retribution on tape, you know, on a video against store looters at Black Lives Matter protests. What, do you want it in Braille? I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. This is what's going on. And then they put Rittenhouse on, and he has that fake crying jag. I mean, the more I think about that, that was the fakest, that was the most coached crying jag I have ever seen in my life. He looked around with these kind of lidless eyes around the courtroom. He didn't care about the victims. Are you kidding me? And, you know, quite frankly, and then he sits there, his mother's crying. I think the defense may have made a mistake putting him on and faking that he was crying. I don't know. We'll see what they end up doing. But the whole thing stinks. And he came up here, the wannabe came up here with a gun to gun somebody down. Okay, we're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.